We're
You're,
talking to Robert Schiller again. He's a regular on our program. He's the publicity or public relations director for Melissa's Produce, which is our favorite produce and outfit. I've been buying Melissa's for so many years. I think I first found it. Are you in Kansas City, Robert?
Melissa's Produce is found everywhere in all 50 states across the country. Our actual facility and warehouse is located in Los Angeles, but we're accessible whether you're in Kansas, whether you're in Pittsburgh, New York, L.A., and everywhere between. Melissa's Produce is the largest variety distributor of produce in the United States. We're known for all of our... I mean, there's not a produce item we don't do, Ann and Peter. We have a product line of over 1,500 different items, and one thing that's always big is we love introducing new products.
Yeah, you do that. And I don't know how you think of them, but, for example, I'm reading about you introduce your family-sized party guacamole at this last fancy food show in New York. Why didn't we all think of that before?
Well, you know, we're not the first ones to be able to do that, but we realized that a lot of our consumers who shop for avocados, sometimes, you know, like, you know, a lot of times I like to bring guacamole to the party, and, you know, you press for time. We do these containers of guacamole. One's spicy and the other one's mild, you know, traditional. And one thing that I hate is when you buy avocados at the store, at the farmer's market, that one of them's like black or, you know, just not quite the way you like it. So, you know, Melissa's has always tried to make produce available, accessible, and easy to use. And I'm blessed for living in California, Los Angeles. We grow avocado trees in our backyard. But if you're not in California or Florida, it makes it very difficult. So we have these 2-pound tubs, which is equivalent to 12 Hass avocados made into a guacamole. So we call it a family-sized party guacamole. And, again, they come in traditional and spicy. For those who like a little heat, we add a little bit of a chili powder to the mix there. And those are just two of the many new items that we helped introduce recently at the New York Fancy Food Show.
We've told you before, Peter's cousin Richard grows organic avocados in Tasmania. So we know quite a lot about pickings. How they avocados don't ripen on the tree.
In fact, I gave away his secret because I didn't realize it was a secret, the secret as to how you know that an avocado is ripe.
Yeah, you know, that's the worst thing. You go to the store, your avocado is rock hard, and if you cut into it, you know you just ruined opening up that avocado. But the secret that I know is you wait until it's soft to the touch, and then the little stem end of the fruit, it should be, you would know it's ripe because you would easily be able to lift up the stem end. If it's too hard and connected to the fruit, it is not ripe. Is that the thing that you're referring to, Peter? Stem end?
He's the deal. You imagine a large wash tub, and you put the avocados in the large wash tub, and the ones that sink are not ripe. The ones that float on the surface, they're ripe.
Really? Wow, Robert. I've never heard that. I am going to do that now. That is awesome.
He's a big deal on Tasmanian avocado, so check it out.
Well, listen, they certainly have the weather for it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, But it's erratic. I mean, there are times when they have drought, and then there's times when there's too much rain. And, you know, he started out growing passion fruit, and it was too much of a challenge with the climate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, yep. Now, one thing I've been interested in, you sent me an article, which I did read in the New York Times, about this pricey fruit, produce. I mean, was there a lot of that at the food show?
Well, at the Melissa's booth at the New York Fancy Food Show, we did that. But, yes, you are referring to the article that just came out on Saturday in the New York Times.
Right.
And the article read, "The World of Luxury Fruit." And it talks about all these exciting produce items that Melissa carries, because I noted included in the article, in regards to, you know, is there a market for it? Yes. Is it for everybody? No. But it goes down the line. We talk about some of the most exciting, hard to find, rare, but expensive produce. And the article starts off with the $156 melon. It is called the crown melon, and it comes from Japan, and it comes in a pretty box. This is a similar story to the, if you remember reading the headlines last month there, Ann and Peter, about the introduction of the $400 pineapple called the Ruby Gold pineapple that is only sold. It's grown by Del Monte in Costa Rica, but is only sold at Melissa's.com. Melissa's produce, and so this sparked the idea that New York Times and the writer who I spoke with talking about all these other exciting fruits that are a bit more expensive than the common fruit that you would buy in the store. It goes on, it talks about designer pineapples, about the pink lobe pineapple, which has been a big success in the United States as not only a newer fruit to the United States in just the last few years, but a successful one that you can more easily find at your local store. Now, a typical pineapple is about, what, $5? But these pink pineapples sell in your local produce department, these pink glow pineapples, they sell $16 to $20 each. And people pick them up all the time because there's such an exciting variety that is super sweet and has low acidity. So, you know, there's these fruits that are not only
really
different in color, but
about that.
Yeah.
You know, you sent us one of those, and I noticed it was not as acidic as the usual pineapple, but the person who got really excited about it was our nephew in England, because he works for a catering company, and this is perfect for them, because there's a bigger group of people able to eat it. It's more generally easily consumed. It looks good on a buffet, you know, and he went crazy over it.
Yeah. So check that article out.
The Tasmanian cherries. Oh, I read the article. But the Tasmanian cherries.
Yes.
Now, that's just a matter of seasonal, right? That you get those.
That is a seasonal thing. We just had our third season of them from Tasmania there, where, you know, you have family. And I'm telling you, were the best cherries I've ever had. These were the biggest cherries I ever had. But yes, if you read in that article, they go for $20 a pound. The season is, opposite season than that of the United States. So the Tasmanian, because, you know, you're on the other side of the equator, so it's the opposite season of the United States. So they're available in late December, mainly January, February, and maybe a little bit into March. It just depends on the weather. But these were cherries that people couldn't get enough of, because what a treat to have the most delicious cherries in the, you know, middle of winter. So,
yeah,
you know, that's another part of this story that you'll read about as well in this luxury fruit article from New York Times.
Now, how do they send it? I mean, they how do they pick them? At what stage of ripeness, and how do they send them?
Well, you can never, growers never pick them when they're super ripe. So now the cherries are air freighted over. So, you know, they go from Tasmania into the United States, you know, within 24 hours. But, you know, you can never pick them tree ripened because, you know, by the time they get here or get distributed, because then, you know, there's a few extra days for it to get into stores across the country. You need to know your fruit and pick it just ideally where it's sweet enough for people to enjoy, but also that, you know, the cold chain is ever so important in a lot of the fruits. And, you know, the growers have, if they want to stay in business, they got to get this conditioning where they are picking at the right level to be able to ship it, whether it's halfway around the world or even domestically, to be able to get into the store. And then, you know, the process of ripening occurs at the store until the time you get home there. But I remember when he got these cherries, I was able to hold on to these cherries for about 10 days. So they had a really great shelf life. So that's something to look forward to come January coming up.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, I don't know, you actually sent us some mangoes that tasted like the best mangoes.
Yes.
Up until that, I mean, I never had a mango that tasted as good as a mango eaten like in Guatemala or Mexico or someplace where they grow.
Yes.
You know,
now,
I mean,
mangoes is one of those tricky fruits. So the story talks about the newest, it's not only the newest fruit to the United States, but it's very different from your regular mango. First of all, these, if you look at the article, they're called pink elephant mangoes. They have a pink skin, okay? They're 2 times the size of a regular mango. Now, a regular mango can be 8 ounces to maybe a pound. These pink elephant mangoes from Vietnam, which just got introduced by Melissa's in the last 2 months and we featured at the Fancy Food Show, they're just over 2 pounds. So it's like a family-sized mango. And
wow,
this is a very common mango in Vietnam, but outside of Vietnam, you don't see them. Now, the thing is that they're a little bit more expensive than your typical mango, and that's what the story is about, these luxury fruits that are hard to find and stuff like that. We actually started distributing these pink elephant mangoes, but again, not every store is carrying them because they cost about $16 each. So it's just over 2 pounds. That's $8 a pound. Most mangoes that you would buy at the store right now are about 75 cents to like just over a dollar. So really it comes down to flavor profile and, you know, how difficult it is to find. But yes, there's nothing, getting back to your question there, there's nothing like enjoying a mango straight off the tree, vine ripened, and tree ripened, in other words, because typical mangoes go through a process of being picked early, getting it going through a hot water bath to clean off the sap or any little buggies that, you know, that because all these mangoes are being brought into the United States. And, you know, you want them clean, not all sappy. So it goes through a long process to be able to be brought into the U.S. And that's something they've always done with mangoes. But there are certain varieties of mangoes that Melissa actually offers tree-ripened. They're a little bit more expensive. Not as expensive as these pink elephant mangoes that I'm talking about from Vietnam, but there's something special, a little bit different than your typical mango. They're just, like, super sweet. They have a golden flesh. And, you know, for those who really appreciate the mango, in many cases, the mango is the not the most popular. It's now the banana. It's the second most popular. These are mangoes in the world in terms of volume and appreciation. You know, now we've gotten to a point where we're able to access so many different varieties to us there. So, and just as a comparison, mangoes in the United States is only number 13. So compared to the rest of the world, what does the rest of the world know that we don't know in the United States about delicious mangoes?
What is it that, why, what is the top fruit anywhere?
The top fruit is still the banana. You know, the banana is easy to grow, a lot of availability. It's the most economical fruit per pound. You know, it's always the biggest end cap when you go into the store. So it's economical. It tastes fine. There's a couple different varieties, but most often than not, the common variety is the Cavendish. But, you know, there's all these other exciting bananas that you can actually cook with, like plantains or red bananas, yeah, or burro bananas. And they're just so, they're the easiest fruit to access, you know, and people know because they're so familiar with them. You know, majority of bananas into the United States, like mangoes, come from Mexico, but a lot of bananas also come from Ecuador into this country there. So I don't think bananas are the best tasting fruit, but they're just easy.
Well, what is it we keep reading about some disease that's going to wipe out the type that we always get?
I've been hearing about that. The good thing about that is not to panic or worry. It's not going to happen in our lifetimes, but, you know, the common banana might not be the Cavendish. So there's they'll figure out another banana variety, because there's so many that might be disease resistant. Yes, because this story has been talking about how the common banana is going to be wiped out in about 10, 15, 20 years. They've been talking about it since I've been in the industry, and that's been 27 years, almost 28 years there. So, you know, and that's, you know, what Mother Nature does, you know, and, you know, sometimes, these viruses that occur in fruits or maybe vegetables or, you know, any other food product, sometimes, you know, you have to look elsewhere for some of the other exciting fruits and vegetables, because, you know, our planet is like inaccessible unlimited on the varieties of produce that are available to us. But we're blessed living in the United States to have access to so many different varieties. So, yeah.
Now, are you doing truffles these days?
Yes. You know, talking about expensive produce, yeah, truffles still ranks as the most expensive. It's actually a fungus it's very similar, closely resembled. I think most people refer to it as a mushroom. And those are those small little mushrooms that give a very hefty price in the marketplace. So the most expensive produce item, and it's been like this for a long time during the peak of the season for truffles, is the fall season here in the United States. White truffles during the holiday season,
right,
that's September, October, November, and December, they'll cost a hefty $2,500 a pound. The black truffle, another variety of truffle, a little bit more common. Still, during the holiday time period, the black truffles cost $1,500 a pound. So that makes a $400 pineapple look really inexpensive in comparison, right?
Well, now, we've been to a number of truffle growing areas and followed the process. We've been in Italy, we've been in France, we've been in Tasmania, again, Western Australia. And somebody sent us a bunch of, where are they from, in the Pacific Northwest of the States. And they didn't even taste like a truffle.
What did they taste like, though? Like,
they didn't have any flavor at all. I mean, they just were...
When you try to grow produce in an area of the world that has, one, never grown that produce item, you might not have the same experience, because my understanding and taste that the best tasting ones that I know of, and, you know, obviously the most expensive, are in Europe, out of Italy, most predominantly season, because, like, right now, it's not Italian season, it's Australian. They are superior as a substitute to the almighty Italian varieties. So these have been growing, you know, for generations and generations naturally. You know, one thing that's common to all truffles is they grow typically near or under oak trees. And that creates the fungus that produces this special mushroom that grows underground. So I'm going to keep calling it mushroom, because when you say fungus, it just doesn't sound right.
In Australia, they planted different trees in Western Australia. What were they, Rabbit?
I forget.
I can't remember. It was not.
They weren't oak trees. There was something else.
Some other kind of tree.
But we
loved watching how they trained the dogs. I mean, they gave up on pigs because the pigs used to do that, but they'd eat the truffles. You know.
Yes.
In Italy, particularly, that was true. And
they do it more hygienically. I think you're talking about old school way where they used to truffle hunt with the pigs, and you know,
but they do it with dogs.
The farmers would fight for them.
In Australia,
wow,
they do it with dogs. They take tennis balls and soak them with essence of truffle, the smell, and they train the dogs. They bury the truffle and train the dogs to find them from smell, and the dogs don't eat them.
Yeah. No, yeah, they do have a strong aroma to them. So, but I'm sure as soon as they find the truffle, they get rewarded with a dog treat, of course.
Yeah.
No question about that.
But, you know, there's so much going on in that whole industry with cheats and liars and fakes and, you know, it seems like the most unlikely thing for people to be crazy over, doesn't it? They smell awful.
They do have a pungent smell, but when topped or used in a dish, a lot of times it's pasta or, you know, something very Italian there. They can make your palate smile. So, but I find a lot of people either love or hate them. They love them. They hate the idea of paying for them. So there you go.
Right.
That's the love-hate relationship.
Somebody sent us a truffle popcorn. It was pretty good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's good news. Now, I'm looking over the products that you introduced at the Fancy Food Show this year. And they're almost all fruits. You have a tomato, a manzana, and you have...
Yeah.
and you have a potato. But the rest of them are all fruit.
Yeah,
so
you know.
What's new in the vegetable market?
Okay, well, let's see here. So, yeah, you mentioned mini Marzano tomatoes. Botanically, in a botanist's eye, it is a fruit, as we all know. But if you didn't know, in the eyes of the Supreme Court, tomatoes are ruled as vegetables. Look it up if you don't believe me.
No, I believe you. It's a fruit. It's a fruit.
Yeah. Well, yes, but if you challenge the Supreme Court, they say in the books it's a vegetable. And it's not brand new to Melissa's. We've been carrying Marzano's, but it's the first new package. It's a Melissa's package. And we're excited about them because, you know, Marzano tomatoes are the most popular tomato in Italy that they use for, you know, red sauces for pasta and pizza and stuff like that. And, you know, the tomato is just always one of those fruits, as the Supreme Court vegetable, that is a essential ingredient in so many dishes there. So, okay, looking down the list here, you're right. We do have some value-added items like the guacamole, the Marzano tomatoes. It's a fruit. In the eyes of the Supreme Court, it's a vegetable. We have some new melons, the Tierra melon that we featured at the Fancy Food Show, the pink elephant mango, which I talked about a little bit, the newest fruit to the United States, and the most expensive of all mangoes that's available. You're right, precious honey glow pineapples. These are pineapples that is a perfect serving size for two people. They come from Costa Rica, and they're delicious.
Really?
So they're a perfect pineapple. They're a perfect pineapple when you have a family of, or, you know, you live alone, or, you know, maybe you a family of two, you know, like you and Peter. And that's the perfect size because once you cut open one of the larger pineapples, you're committed to eat a lot of pineapple in a small amount of time. You know, it's like opening up a watermelon because there's so much fruit inside there. So Melissa's is excited about the precious honey glow pineapple there. Tropical flight dragon fruit. That's a mixture of dragon fruit. You're right. It's fruit. Let's see here.
Yeah, we like
tree
dragon
ripened.
Fruit. We like dragon fruit.
And yeah. And you know the thing is that flight comes
flavor.
With
flavor.
Well,
like the
that's the thing. Dragon fruit, the ones that are that are pink fuchsia color on the outside and they have a white flesh or like a red magenta flesh. Those are not super sweet, but in the tropical dragon fruit, there's three different varieties. The third variety has yellow skin. Those are the super sweet ones, like the most opposite of the other dragon fruit that are not sweet and more melon mellow flavor there. So in that bag, you get the sweetest and you get the mildest. But, you know, dragon fruit has become such a popular fruit here in the United States.
It
it's crazy. So let's
I
see here. Oh,
salad.
Salad chips. Salad
yeah,
chips is all vegetable. So Melissa does three new gourmet salad kits that you will find in your local produce department. It's a family size pack, so it's like 34 ounces or up to 3 pounds. So it's perfect for like four people. We actually do three different salad kits. One is Asian. It's called Asian Essentials. And that salad kit has Napa cabbage, red cabbage, carrots, green onions. It's tossed. In a side pack, there's the sweet sesame dressing and also some crunchy noodles you put on top. These are salads that taste exactly like you would experience at a nice white tablecloth restaurant. Mm-hmm. So with the Asian one, we also have the Greek salad. It's 36 ounces. It's mainly tomatoes, cucumbers, red onions. It comes with a light vinaigrette in a sauce package, and it also comes with feta cheese. So it's more of a fruit and vegetable salad because it has tomatoes, cucumbers, which are fruit, red onions, feta cheese. So these aren't vegan, and a great light vinaigrette as you would at another at a white tablecloth restaurant. That's like the traditional Greek salad. And the final salad, well, it's a fruit and vegetable salad. It's the all-classic Waldorf salad. It's 34
oh,
ounces.
Wow,
it has
yeah.
apples, grapes.
I haven't had one of those.
Celery. Yeah, and walnuts. So
I was raised on Waldorf salads.
Well, I always consider it more of a fruit salad, but, you know, it does have celery in there because it gives that extra crispness like apples do and stuff and grapes. And, yes, that dressing, which is a cream base, it's eating a Waldorf salad is like it's like eating dessert.
Uh-huh.
That's how I describe it.
You know, you say a family of two. Well, we're having our son and daughter-in-law and two grandchildren visiting. And they're such picky eaters, especially the grandson. But they're mm-hmm. crazy about artichokes. Isn't that odd?
I think that is odd.
Yeah, I mean, they're so picky about everything. And if they love... Because, I mean, I've introduced them to the whole steamed artichokes because Adam, our son, loved those when he was little. And what they like, you know, is the butter sauce I make that they dip the leaves in. That's what they really like. So, but it's the
butter
wrong season.
Butter makes everything better, you know, so.
Yeah. Butter.
Yeah, so it's very unusual for kids to like, one, the
yeah,
color
I thought
green
that was
vegetable,
unusual.
And two, you know, actually, you can classify it as a vegetable, but it's actually it's a plant, but it's a flower. It's a thistle.
Yeah.
So if you ever grow artichoke, and you know, most of the artichokes you buy all come from California because we have the ideal ocean weather for them. They grow along the coast there in Northern California especially. And they're picked early because if you keep the artichoke on too long, it turns into a big, beautiful purple flower. You should Google it. You'd be surprised how pretty of a flower it produces. But if you pick it early, then you can enjoy the petals.
Artichokes are very clever because they put that spiky stuff so that people get pinched if they try to take the heart out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, those are the regular thorn artichokes. Yeah, a lot of the growers grow the thornless variety, so you don't run into that problem because, you know, the toy surprise is inside the artichoke. The petals are fun, you know, with the dip that you're referring to, but as you know, most people's favorite part is in the center, and after picking off all the petals, you know, she loves me not, enjoying each and every one, and then taking a spoon, scoring out the rest of the flower, which looks kind of like white
you
petals.
Know, where do you get those? I've never seen a whole artichoke with no thorny, spiky centers.
Well, there's a thorn. All artichokes had thorns on them because they're in the thistle family. But over the last 20 years, most of the growers said, well, you know, consumers at the store, when they pick up an artichoke, they poke themselves because of the thorns. So most artichokes are the thornless variety. That's basically what you have. But, yeah, you always have to be careful because when you get into the inside, it's always good to use a spoon so you don't have to pull out each of the petals.
Right.
I just use a spoon and carve out to get to the artichoke heart. So you can go to our website at melissas.com to find out on how to properly open an artichoke so you don't poke yourself. But, you know, the growers are trying to make it easier by using the varieties that they have that are, most people like seedless, you know, grapes and seedless watermelons and stuff like that. So, you know, by cross-hybridizing some of these different plants, you're able to produce fruits and vegetables that are more helpful to the average consumers. It makes it easier, not as difficult. Because one of the big innovations in produce is right now a lot of the growers are working on seedless lemons. So someday in the future,
seedless
I don't know how long
lemons.
It's going to be.
Amazing.
Seedless lemons are the way to go. So there you go.
Wow. You are a wealth of information. Before we go, Robert, could you just spell out your website so that our listeners could go on there and read not only what you've got, but also your tips and tricks
sure.
and things that you have.
Yes.
So spell out.
Melissa's is all about education about produce and recipes, culinary information, how to know when it's ripe or how to store. You go to our website at melissas.com, melissas.com, and you will learn a lot of information in a little bit of time. For those who like to go to find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, you name it, we do it. That is actually our handle is at Melissa's Produce, which is one word, at Melissa's Produce. And you're going to be learning a lot about produce in a short amount of time there on any social media handle that you like. And thank you guys for having me on today.
Or listeners, call Robert.
Or just call me, Robert Schuller at Melissa's Produce there. You can reach me straight through our website. Just email through the website, and eventually you'll be connected with me.
You're wonderful, Robert. I'm so glad we connected. So, anyhow, you were the great discoverer of my life. A long time ago, we met. I can't remember where, but it was, I think, in a market somewhere. So,
yeah,
all right.
It had to be at a food show, I think, like, gosh, has it been like 15, 20 years now that we've been
probably
seeing each other at the fancy food show? I've done over 20 fancy food shows there, so look forward to seeing you guys at the next one there. I hope everything heals and you're feeling better and you're up and running at food shows again, okay, Ann?
Yes. They're getting bigger and bigger and harder to manipulate.
Okay,
so,
I'm gonna hang up now.
Robert, thank you so much.
Okay, you guys take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.